I'll be with y'all in just a minute. Y'all just hang on there. Y'all pray amongst yourselves or something. Especially for me. We're good? All right, give the band a big round of applause. I'm going to tend to something right now, though, because I rebuke Satan. He's been trying to mess this up all morning long, and we don't stand for it here at Williamson County Cowboy Church. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus, the name of all names, that we don't allow you in this place, and that the mention of Jesus, you have to flee. So you get the heck out of here right now. Man. Whew. It's been one of them mornings. But I got good news. God's good all the time. And He's here amongst us. Amen? For those folks that are new here, we welcome you to Williamson County Cowboy Church. And you never know what will happen at Williamson County Cowboy Church. We're not afraid. So you will witness God and the Holy Ghost here. We guarantee you. So be ready. Amen? And welcome to those watching online. Sometimes when I minister, I forget to welcome them. So I remember today, welcome y'all. So we are glad you're here. If you are a first-time visitor here at Williamson County Cowboy Church, hopefully you got a packet at the front door. There's a card in there for you to fill out so that when we do tithes and offerings in a little bit, you can come put them up here in the bucket. That would be awesome. I think there's even a little pen in there you can use, isn't there? Was there? You think? We hope. If not, I thought there was, so it's my fault. But yes, so if you are new here and the first time that you've come, what we want you to do, we're not going to have you run up to the front or anything like that. Just right where you are, we'd like to welcome you the way that we know how to welcome folks. So if you are for the first time visitors, raise your hand up right now and we'd like to give you a big round of applause. There's several in here. Amen. Amen. Well, we were gone last week to San Angelo to the Fiesta roping. And that was we had a great service, had 5, 6, I think, saved. It's always good even if one gets saved, amen? Because that's what we go out the distance for, to do that. And Pastor Corey and his family are traveling. He's doing a church service this morning at the Junior Rodeo in Hamilton. So y'all keep him in your thoughts and prayers. The guys are going to be passing out tithes and offerings, but while they do, I'm going to make a few announcements. So if you need to take note of these announcements, you might want to. Just to give you an update on the building back there, the AC's finished this week, fire system done this week. That's happening this week, right? It's happening this week. All right. And the next steps, we got to get the floors done. So if God puts it on your heart to give, we still need some funds coming in to finish that children's church back there. So if you God puts it on your heart to give, and we pay everything cash here for those new folks that are visiting. Our pastor and his wife do not take a salary at this church. They have faith and believe, and so that's why in just a minute you'll see us teaching on the tithe, that we can do that because our pastor has faith that God provides, because we know that to be a fact and a truth, much more than the fact, but the truth. So if God puts it on your heart to give for the children's church, we're close, y'all. I mean, we can see the finish line. Somebody, yeah, one little whoop, that was it. My goodness. So after that, when we get done with the floors, then they're going to do the plumbing, toilet, shelving, etc. So, like I said, if God puts it on your heart, man, make sure on your check you put children's church building fund. So be sure and put that on there. Today, right at, I know that y'all are, we're, because I see it, everybody that I've talked to this week, and I see it. Something's big happening this week or something, isn't it? Yeah. There again, just a few of you like, yeah, man. Come on, y'all. It's time for God's people to stand up and get fired up. My goodness. I saw something posted yesterday, and I thought I had to tell y'all this morning. If you didn't see it, I thought it was funny. Summed up 2020. It said, we are officially in the fourth quarter of 2020. I hope we're playing the Dallas Cowboys. I thought you'd like that, Rusty. I guess that's how some people sum up 2020. But you know what? One thing I know of is my God's better than that. Amen? Amen. Man, I got God. I don't need anything else. Amen. So right after church today at 12:30 at Dahlia's, and I'll make sure you get out in time if you want to go over there, Senator John Cornyn and special guests will be having a pre-social at Dahlia's today at 12:30. So if you'd like to go over and be a part of that, that's right after church today. Huh? Didn't I not say? Oh. Okay, it's not the time. It's not the time. That's out of order. Thank you, please. And there will be a pie social at Dahlia's. Okay, so, and if you can't, then, you know, be there. Pastor Corey will be using his personal page tomorrow night to have prayer starting at 6 o'clock. Okay? So, he would like for everybody that can to tune in live on his Facebook page. Amen? All right. Well, how about a big round of applause for tithes and offerings? Y'all flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here at Cowboy Church, for the new folks, we believe that seed time and harvest, that we sow. I saw a Texas license plate the other day that said, sow and reap. That was their license plate. I thought that was cool, you know? Because we believe here that what you sow is what you will reap, right? I mean, it's just like if you sow good things, you reap those good things. If you sow bad things, you reap those bad things. So what are you choosing to sow? So that there's a seed, a time, and a harvest. And that harvest is what you've sowed, what you've believed for to come back to you. That seed, time, and harvest. So let's look at verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 9. It said, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Did y'all hear that? Not only does God provide us with the seed to sow, because you think that you just happened to get that job? That, oh, that was all me. Well, if you do, I'm sorry, because that's not the way it works. God gives us the seed to sow. How cool is that? Have you ever thought about that, though? I mean, I learned a long time ago that I'm really just in charge of what I've got. That what God has given me, the stuff that we have, the finances, the fifth wheel trailer we live in, the land, but that's God's. It's not mine. God's given me that to use, and all He's asking back is for us to give back 10%. Are you doing that? You see, because He wants to, if we sow that seed, He's providing for us. Well, wait a minute. It says, and multiply your seed sown. Now that's I ought to get an amen or something for that. I mean, come on, y'all. If you're sowing the seed that God gave you, and He's going to turn around and increase that, multiply that seed back to you. Amen. Man, that's a heck of a deal right there. Stop and think about it. God's given you the seed to sow. He's given you the job. And then He's going to turn around and multiply the seed you sow. It don't get better than that, y'all. I'm sorry. I am sorry. That's awesome. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see, that's the way our pastor believes. I've never seen a more giving man. He gives everywhere. That's how this church was built. That's why that it's been built with cash and money hasn't had to been borrowed. He won't borrow money. It could have been finished a long time ago, but that's not what God told him to do. You see? God put it on his heart that this is to be paid for with cash. Amen? So if God puts it on your heart to give, then don't forget Children's Church. If He puts it on your heart, be sure and note that on the deal. Y'all come give with a big round of applause. All right. Look at all the kids today. Got our helpers back. Yes. Hi, baby. My granddaughter and grandson. Helping out this morning. Y'all go ahead, guys, and start passing it out. It's the first Sunday of the month. It's the first Sunday of the month, and so we always do communion on the first Sunday of the month. A great way to start out our month is having communion. Communion is a remembrance. Communion, the word, actually means to fellowship. To fellowship. You see, when we take communion, we are fellowshipping. It's a one-on-one. Thank you, sir. It's a one-on-one. See, when Jesus died for us, I use that word us. But it's more than us. Amen? What we have to understand and what we have to get in our heads is that when Jesus died, He died for you. He died for you. He died for you. I say us collectively, but no, it's an intimate personal thing that Jesus did for us. He died for each individual person. My goodness. When we start looking at that in that light, that He died for me. My goodness. Makes you forget about everything else, y'all. It makes me go, He knew me before I was born. Oh, my Lord. You stop and think about that. If you've never thought about it, I've preached this before when we do communion, but it still gets to me. Golly, that He loves me so much that He shed His blood for me, y'all. That He took that beating, that cattail, 39 lashes and stripes on His back, that He took. You know, in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, we are healed by those stripes. He took all of those stripes on His back so that we didn't have to be sick, that we didn't have to be in pain. That's what we have to remember, y'all. That's what Jesus did for, not you, He did it for me. You see, we should all say He did it for me. Amen? Say He did it for me. One more time, He did it for me. Yeah, and you can get touchy with your neighbor. No, He did it for me. Stick that chest out. God did it. Jesus died for me and shed His blood. Man. And then it's a time to reflect and to search our heart. Is there something in your heart that you need to God to bring to the forefront so that you can fix? You see, what is your heart telling you today? That you look at that and you say, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Because that's what Jesus died for. That forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins, y'all. Oh, He shed that precious blood. I never take it lightly, communion. Come on. He did the ultimate sacrifice for us. When He didn't have to do it, He could have backed out at any time. But no, He went and shed that blood for us, for Ricky. Amen? So with this bread, in remembrance of Jesus and the broken body, you can eat. And this also represents His blood. Ooh, well, I guess it was the cracker. I don't know. This represents His blood, that precious blood that we plead for protection, y'all, that protects us from everything, that covers us. We plead it every day over our family and our kids and over the church. So take remembrance. You can drink. Father God, we thank You this morning. We thank You for sending Jesus. Father God, we thank you that the ultimate sacrifice was made by Jesus to die for us, that he knew me before I knew him. Father God, we just thank you for him and his word today. Father God, just use me this morning to minister the message you have in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I hope y'all are fired up this morning, because I'm fired up. Of course, y'all know me. I stay that way. Ooh, Jesus. Y'all ready to get into some word? Oh, wait, we got to dismiss the kids and the youth. Oh, easy, kids. On the count of three, with a big round of applause, we're going to let y'all walk calmly to the back. One, two, three. Give them a big round of applause. Yeah. Big things this week, y'all. Big things. Excited about those things. Excited. God gave me something for y'all this morning, this week. I've been studying and studying, and it changed like it always does. But what he gave me this morning is a simple message. So I hope y'all are ready to receive. What I would like for you to do right now is, if you can, I want y'all to stand up. Stand up. And if you can't, that's okay too, but I want y'all. Right now, the Holy Spirit wanted me to have y'all confess this out of your mouth. My God is more than enough. Okay, part of you said it like you meant it, and the others just caught it. My God is more than enough. My God is more than enough. Okay, y'all sit down. Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
Oh, this section right here did. I didn't hear much of this one or this one over here. Do you believe that my God is more than enough?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, now that's better. Because when we say that my God is more than enough, shouldn't you mean it? You want to say it so that the devil goes, woo, and leaves. You don't want to say, my God's more than enough. Mm-mm. That's not how we need to say it. Because if we truly believe that my God is more than enough, then there's no need to worry anymore, right? If we truly believe. Now, Pastor Corey has been preaching a while back. He was preaching and still stood on that. There's some people that are in fear about everything that's going on. The pandemic, the election coming up, right? And he had people even stand up and say, man, I'm tired of being in fear. I want it done. But the Holy Spirit showed me that there's still some people that are riding that fence, y'all. There's some people that still got one foot hanging over this side of the fence. You can't ride the fence with fear and faith. Because here's the deal. If you are in fear, you aren't in faith. You can't be both. You can't ride the fence of fear and faith and go, well, I got a little bit of fear, but I got a little bit of faith. It don't work that way, y'all. There's no way. You're either in fear or you're in faith. But my God is more than enough, right? So I'm in faith, and my faith is strong. And we know that 2 Timothy says that he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of sound mind, power, and love. And that sound mind, I thought it was interesting because I was looking that up this morning. And in the Amplified, you know what it said about sound mind? It said sound mind, calm. How many of you need some calm right now? Of some laughing, some holding up your hand. Yeah. Well-balanced, disciplined, self... Don't raise your hands. How many of you need self-control right now? You see, the spirit of fear, God did not give us that. It's time to get rid of that junk that we're talking about. I talked to people this week, and they're like, well, it says that pandemic is increasing again. What? And then I hear, oh, what if Trump doesn't win the election? And I rebuke that and first rebuke both of them. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what I told them? Because they're believers, man, and they want to believe he's going to win. But what if? My God is more than enough. No matter what, no matter what happens in your personal life, no matter what happens Tuesday, no matter whatever they say about this, the Rona, you know, my God is more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. That's what I'm preaching to y'all this morning. God is more than enough. Amen? Y'all flip over to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 10. By the way, I hope y'all brought Bibles this morning because you're going to need them. This is something that I've never done before, and the Holy Spirit likes to, that's the way He deals with me. He likes to really go, okay, Ricky, we're going to stick you out there today. Are you ready? And Ricky goes, okay, take me. I'm yours. But you see, what we're going to do today, I've never done before. So you're going to hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I love this scripture, and this is one of the things that we need to be standing on, y'all. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. See, when you get tempted to be in fear, God gives us a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. But listen to it in the Amplified. For no temptation, no trial, regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. Did you hear that? That ought to be an amen in there somewhere. Man, that's good news right there. It's not going to be anything that is ever beyond human resistance. And that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as a man can bear. But God is faithful to His word and to His compassionate nature, and He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance. Listen to this. And power to endure. To endure. To make it through. But with the temptation, He will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place. He's got a place. He already knows. He already knows when you're going through something. He already knows what's going to happen this week. But guess what? Either way, it won't be more than we can bear, y'all. It will not be more than we can bear. Because my God is more than enough. He's got a place already prepared for what's next. Did everybody hear me? He's already got a place prepared for what's next. You see, because God doesn't get you somewhere and then go, boop, you're done. It's not God. God gets you somewhere to get you somewhere else. Amen? He gets you. And it's not like my wife says, because my wife is a point A to point B girl to a point C girl. And I can say that because she's not here today. So she's listening probably. So He takes you from A to Z and then to L over here and then to N and then, oh, let's go up here to P and then back. No, that's God. Because He already has pre-planned what each one of us are going to go through. He knows. Now, but sometimes we choose the wrong way. But if we do it with the right heart, He's still going to bless us. He's still got a place for us to go. It's not going to tempt us so much that we can't resist it, because God has gone before us to make that plan. Amen? My God. My God. Hey, when y'all say it like you mean it. Because remember, I can see if you're sleeping or not from up here. You don't hide a thing if those eyes go shut. Trust me. My God. There we go. Because that's what, man, if you don't get anything else this morning, get my God is more than enough. What more do you have to stand on? Nothing, anything that happens is not bigger than my God. My God is more than enough. Take what happened with Moses. Let's just look at a few of those things in the Bible. If you haven't ever read any of it, you should. It's good. Some great stuff in there. Some stuff. This is my guide. This is my guide for life. So let's look at some of those more than enough things. When Moses got to the Red Sea, God didn't go, oh, you're going to go around it. He parted that sucker. Now, isn't that a little bit over the top? I mean, when you stop and think about it, that is over the top, isn't it? Whew! But my God is more than enough. You see, that's what He does. Or Abraham. He promised Abraham he'd be a father of many nations. He said, I'll multiply your seed. He was old, y'all. And his wife wasn't no spring chicken either. Amen? But God multiplied an older gentleman and an older woman. I was nice and did not say, oh. You see, that's more than enough. Here's one of my favorites, because I'm a numbers guy. Gideon. The story of Gideon. When you think about that, Gideon wasn't real sure he was wanting to battle anyway. In fact, we know he didn't. But God said, gather some men. Well, the numbers I found, Gideon gathered about 32,000 men. And it said he was outnumbered 4-1. So that means it was 128,000 to 32,000. Now, I relate to Gideon because God does me this way. Gideon comes back and goes, I got 32,000. He goes, oh, that's too many. What? Whoa. Time out. We're going up against 32,000 is too many. Get rid of some. So he gets rid of 10,000. Okay, God, I got rid of 10,000. We're ready. We're 22,000 strong against 128,000. What do we do? God said, still too many. You got to be kidding me. God says, take them down to the pond. Well, I don't think he said pond, but take them down to the water. I'm going to get rid of some more. When all count came in, you remember how many was left? 300. Now, if I'm Gideon, I'm more than giddy about being Gideon, because there's something wrong here. 300 to 128,000? But guess what? My God is more than enough. He whooped them. He took care of them. Or what about the widow lady that was fixing to die? She wanted to die, and she was going to, you know, just had enough for her and her son. But then she was told to go get those pots. Gather up all you can. And it just kept coming. The oils that kept coming. You see, my God is more than enough. Amen? My God is more than enough. Okay, we're going to have to work on that. We got plenty of time, though. Whew. Wow. As I studied this out, El Shaddai, the Holy Ghost gave me El Shaddai. And if you don't know, there's many names. God has many different names. He is so deep His character is so deep that how He deals with us in certain areas, He has a different name for. So the first one was El Shaddai, and I got to look, and well, He gave me another one. Jehovah Rapha, I think that's how you say it. If not, it's close. That means our healer. And then He gave me Jehovah Nisi, which is our banner. Moses carved that on a mantle. And then He gave me Jehovah Jireh, the all-providing one. And then, again, El Shaddai means God Almighty, more than enough. Now, I sat back and I looked at those, I'm like, well, okay, I'm studying this. And then the Holy Spirit goes, look, that's what y'all need right now. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Heal our land. Heal our people. It's time. Jehovah Nisi is God is our banner. What do you do with a banner or a sign? What are people doing at the Trump rallies? They're holding up that sign. We need to start holding up that sign of our God is more than enough. Amen? That God is our healer. And that the Jehovah Jireh, the all-providing. See, that's what He's doing for us, y'all. He's providing. And then El Shaddai, my God is more than enough. If you look at those four words, those four names of God, that's something pretty good you can stand on, isn't it? Because He's going to take care of us. The Word says that we're not supposed to be anxious for anything. We're not supposed to worry because tomorrow has worries of its own. And boy, doesn't it though? If you worry. But if my God's more than enough and we believe it, there are no more worries. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Psalms 23 says, and this most of y'all know it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not... Okay, so let's stop right there. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want... The Holy Spirit showed me that sometimes we only let the Lord shepherd us when we want to. That's why we get back into having fear, or we need something or want something, is because we quit letting the Lord shepherd us. I'm just a messenger. But you know what? I preach to myself, so y'all can take it or you get it. I hope you do. But the Lord is my shepherd. Am I allowing Him to shepherd me all the time? You know, because we all know that most of us like to be in control, but we're not. And so when we learn to give up that control, say, okay, God, what do You want me to do? That's when things start happening. That's when good things start happening. It says in Psalms 34, no want comes to those who fear the Lord, which is the kind of fear is reverence, is respect. Okay? So if we're allowing the Lord to be our shepherd, I'm not even getting, this is just the introduction, y'all. The Lord is our shepherd. You think I'm kidding? The Lord is our shepherd, and we're letting Him be our shepherd, then my God is what? More than enough. Flip to Deuteronomy 28. And then we'll get started. Y'all think I'm kidding? I brought lunch for me. Got a sandwich in my pocket. We're getting there, Rusty. Don't tell my sermon. Come on. I didn't even talk to you about this. I gotta tell y'all. Time. Y'all hold your place in Deuteronomy. I shouldn't have. When I said sandwich, well, it brought back a story that is, it has nothing to do with this, but you've gotta hear it because you'll never hear something like this again, probably. Me and Dad, we had a group before we moved to Branson. We lived in Midland and Odessa. And we always played once a month at the mall there in Midland. They paid us to come. They furnished music every week. And we had a guy. His name was Mikey Chisholm. Mikey was a sweet guy. He was bigger and taller than me. And, you know, let's just say that he was challenged some. I mean, it was nothing wrong with him other than just, you know, he was challenged. And Mikey talked like this. He's a big old boy, and he talked like this. Well, one day, we're at the mall playing, and Mikey comes and sits on the front row. And we're playing. Look at him, and he pulls something out of his pocket, wadded up in a napkin, and it's a sandwich, half-eaten sandwich. He eats some of it and folds it and puts it back in his pocket. Okay, I thought it was funnier than that. But Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to start in verse 1. Because if we are letting the Lord truly shepherd us, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently. Diligently, y'all, not just haphazardly, but that we hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all the blessings, everybody say all. Yeah, not just part of them. All the blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Y'all, my God is more than enough. Keep reading that. Woo! Man, blessed shall be the basket and the store. Blessed shalt thou be when comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when they goest out. The Lord shall... Oh, listen to this. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Y'all, that's all the blessing. My goodness. I don't know about y'all. That gives me goosebumps. I want all the blessing. My God is more than enough. Ooh, amen. All right, y'all ready? All right. Now, so I told you that the Holy Spirit had me doing something different today. And this is different for me. I'm going to preach out at two books at the same time. And it's weird for me. So if this is what I want you to do, if you can, with your Bible, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 14. And then I want you to find John chapter 6. And I don't know why the Holy Spirit chooses me to do stuff like this. I wish you'd choose Howdy or Rusty. These are the same two stories in the Bible. It's where, and we all, most of us know this, it's where he fed the 5,000. This is a chapter, both of these books, Matthew and John, but this story was actually recorded by all four evangelists. Few other stories were recorded by all four. So, Ricky, you know, thinks, well, man, this must be important if they all four recorded them. Right? So, what I did, if you can, your Bible may not be like mine, but I was able to turn John over where I could see it right here, and then I got Matthew over here. So it helped me. And if you can't, that's okay. If you're on your phone, you can't break the phone, so that's on your own, if you're using a phone. So this is a time in, it says in Matthew right before it sets up this story, that this is when John the Baptist had been beheaded, okay? And Jesus had just found out about this. And so, different places I studied and I prayed about it, I was shown several things. First of all, Jesus, when he heard of it, this is verse 13 in Matthew, and I'll tell you where I'm out of, so I'll try to keep y'all posted. He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus heard of this, and he was grieved. But he was also concerned. Now, the concernment here was is that he had heard that Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist had come back to life. So Jesus was concerned that Herod might try something, and Jesus, it wasn't Jesus' time to go yet right here, y'all. Bless you. Jesus got a lot more to do. So that's setting up the story. So this is verse 2 in John 6. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, that they were diseased. Now look at 14 in Matthew. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. It said that because of what happened to John the Baptist, people were even more drawn to Jesus now. The multitudes were really drawn to Jesus. 14 continues and says, was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Okay, y'all. So Jesus is first of all grieving about John the Baptist. He's concerned about his safety for his life. But yet, what does it say he just did? He healed. He ministered to these people. He was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He didn't turn them away. You see, that's who we have to love. My God is more than enough. He was here for the people. Our God does not turn his back on us. When we are letting him shepherd our life, he won't turn his back. Okay. Verse 3 and 4 in John 6. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with the disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Okay. So, let's see here. I'm trying to do this, make it easy for y'all. Verse 15 in Matthew, it says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy them some victuals, which is victuals, food. So the disciples here said, hey man, we had a great day of ministering. You did some awesome things, but these people are getting hungry. It's getting late. We can't do anything for them. So let's look at John, and we'll look at verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, Jesus is asking Philip, hey man, where are we going to get some food to feed these people? There was no HEB back then. And especially for that many people. That's going to take a lot of stuff, isn't it? So he's asking Philip, even though we know that he knew what? He knows the answer, right? See, that's something that we struggle with sometime. Instead of allowing him to work, we want to know the answer. But he's already got it planned for us. He's already got that pathway there for us. Verse 6 in John. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He's telling them to prove me, to test me, which God doesn't do that too many times. One of them is in Malachi. I love that one because he says, test me. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse and I'll open the windows and I'll pour out a blessing that you can't contain. I like that. Amen? So that's what Jesus is saying right here. And Philip answered. Philip's in the natural now. Philip's thinking in the flesh. He said, Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Well, I researched that, because like I said, I'm a numbers kind of guy, in that he said 200 penny worth of bread, at that time, that was over a half a year's wages for somebody. And that would have only got some people a bite. Just a bite. Okay, verse 16 says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. So, in verse 17, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay? Verse 8 in John 6 says, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So in verse 18 in Matthew, it says, Jesus said, bring them hither to me. Bring them over here. Okay, verse 19 in Matthew. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Now, stop right there. And we're going to go to verse 10 in John. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. That's just the men. And they said that the women and children probably over doubled the amount of men. Now, there's something, two things that are real interesting about make them sit down. So, in the Word, it says make them sit down. Then we can kind of make a great figure here that they were standing up. While Jesus was ministering, they were standing up. Because standing up represents a position of respect or reverence and readiness. That tells me that those people came ready. Oh, man. They came ready and expecting more than enough. And the disciples are over here going, we don't have more than enough. We don't even have more or enough. Right? Because that's what the disciples are thinking in the natural. In the natural. Okay, are y'all with me so far? I've only seen one doze off. They must have didn't. Anyway. All right. Here we go. Verse 19. We stopped at, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. In verse 9 or 10, it's in the John, it says, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass, there's about 5,000. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed, now y'all pay attention, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. So, first of all, Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the fish, right? He was thankful. He was thankful that he's fixing to feed over 10,000 people and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's a stretch trying to be thankful. That's what you got, because in the natural, it can look like somebody getting left out. And if the crowd decides to charge, it could be ugly. Okay? But that's not what he did. You see, we get caught up in looking in, well, I don't have enough. No. Jesus is looking at this going, man, I'm thankful for these 5 loaves and those 2 fishes. Amen. Then it said that he broke the bread and the fish, and in some places it says carved the meat. He did it himself. Okay, y'all listen to this. He didn't allow the disciples to do it. And the Holy Spirit showed me that there was no, I call it a poof moment. Now, doesn't some of you are already going, poof, like magic. There was no poof, and there was fish everywhere, and there was loaves of bread everywhere. There was nothing. He still had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, y'all. And as he broke the bread and he distributed it, they kept distributed it. He passed it out, and they kept coming back. And he kept pulling off bread. He still just had 5 loaves, y'all. Stop and think about it. If we get in and let the Lord shepherd our life is consistent like that. There was a consistent flow of food and fish. There was not one huge pile and then everybody scrambled. No, Jesus dispensed that bread just like He does with the Word. See, it's Jesus' job that He brought us the Word. And then He gave it to the disciples to distribute, y'all. And the ministers and the disciples nowadays, we're supposed to be dispensing the Word. We're just supposed to be dispensing that what? My God is more than enough. My God is more than enough no matter what happens next week. No matter what happens this afternoon, my God is more than enough. Man, I thought that was amazing to see that there was, that it just kept coming. And it's a consistent, constant thing that if we tie in, if we lock in, we have that consistency. It's when we don't that we lose that consistency. When we're not walking with the Lord all the time, then that's why we have these moments, y'all. These moments of anxiousness and excitedness and nervousness and worriness and I don't have this and I don't have that. No, we'll never lack. We'll never want if the Lord is our shepherd. Okay, y'all good? Y'all still in the same place? Oh, I wrote this down. I want y'all to get this. Grace grows by being acted. Grace grows by being acted. God ministers seed to the sower. We talked about that in tithes and offerings, right? God ministers seed to the sower and multiplies not the seed hoarded up, but the seed sown. Did you get that? You see, when we're out giving and we're acting on what we know, that's when it multiplies, y'all. That's when it gets so big. Because God will multiply us if we're blessing other people. Amen? My God is more than enough. Verse 20 in Matthew. And I'm getting close to closing. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. In verse 13 or 12, it says, when they were filled, and that word filled in the Greek means satisfied. He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verse 13 in John says, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. How many disciples were there? Oh, that's amazing. With the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained. Listen to this, y'all. You might want to mark this in your Bible if you do that sort of thing. Which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. My God is more than enough. My God is my bread of life. My God provides when I encounter all kinds of impossibilities. Him provides a way out. He provides me an escape. He satisfies me. The key is I have to let Him satisfy me. My God is more than enough. Everybody say it. My God is more than enough. This side over here we may have to preach to a little longer. A little quiet on that side over there. I hope you got the message today. You know, if it doesn't touch you what's going on nowadays, man, you need to soften your heart. Because there's a lot going on that we need to pay attention to. We as Christians, it's about time we got up off our rear ends and start standing up and doing the right thing. I come not to fuss at you today. I come to encourage you to get fired up. If you haven't voted yet, by golly, Tuesday's the day. My God is more than enough, no matter what. I read the other day that Texas has surpassed, early voting numbers surpassed all the people that voted in 2016, y'all. That ought to tell you something. And the Word says that when we've done all we can do, we stand. We stand for the Word of God. We bought that Bible. It's like Rusty. I've used what Rusty preached a while back so much to different people because I don't like Trump. Okay, I'll give you that. You know, because he's, I mean, I've never sat down and visited with him, but he might not be that likable of a guy. I mean, he does say some, you know, funny things, but don't vote for him. Vote for Vice President Pence or vote for what they stand for. Yeah, I don't disagree with, but I love it because that's what a great, and I appreciate that, Rusty, because it's enabled me to witness to other people that go, well, you know, I really stand for this, but I just don't like him. And you know what? There's times when I really don't care for him either, some of the stuff he says, but I love him and I love what he stands for. Amen. Amen. Woo! As I was praying and believing this morning, there was a deal laying over there, a little pamphlet. We get all kinds of different ministry stuff. And Laurie had laid it out for me because I'd talked to her about some of the stuff. And we talked about Gideon. And she goes, oh, well, there's something in here about Gideon I was reading the other day. You might want to read it. Well, I didn't read it. But I read what was at the end of it. And I wrote this out. And I'll give credit where credit is due because Dennis Burt wrote this. And I'm going to declare this right now, and I would ask that if you believe this, that you be in agreement, because this right here is one of the most powerful things I've read. And man, I was fired up this morning. We are the mighty in God, rising up in confident faith to stand strong as conquerors over the corruption that is running rampant. We are standing up for freedom, for our nation, for the destruction of the satanic influence waged against us, and for the conquering power of God's love. We are rising up in faith, rising up in might, and rising up in love. We will not be stopped, intimidated. We are God's voice for our generation. We will not be silenced. So stand up. Stand up in faith. Stand up for freedom. Stand up and resist the oppression. Stand up and go on the offensive with the sword of the Lord and the Lord's shout of victory, for the battle is surely the Lord's. Amen? Woo! My goodness. I'm telling y'all, if that don't get you fired up, then you know that old saying, your wood's wet. And it's more than wet, I guarantee you. Because it's time that we get fired up as Christians. And as Pastor Corey says, you know, it's politics, but it's not politics. This is life for Christians, and it's what we stand for. We stand for life, y'all. We stand for freedom. We stand for being able to have our guns. And so it's time that we start standing up. That we don't just, well, we talk about it in church, but when we leave church, we're afraid to say anything to anybody because it might tick them off. You know what? They'll get over it or they'll leave. One of the two. So I'm just telling you right now that it's time that we stand up, y'all. As Christians. Amen? My question to you this morning is, my God is what?
What?
That's right. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you would like to know my God that is more than enough, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you that chance right now. I don't ask you, I beg you to make Jesus the Lord of your life right now. And we're not going to do anything crazy. You don't have to come up here or anything. We're just going to do it from right where you sit. And I'm going to ask all the believers to say this with us. It's time. It's time to make Jesus your Savior. So out loud, believers, I want y'all to say it with me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I just believe that you shed your blood for me. I thank you that you're the bread of life. I thank you that you're my provider, that you're more than enough. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we say amen, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time and asked Jesus to come into your heart, On the count of three, I want you to just raise your hand up, put it right back down. We want to get a Bible to you. Because the Word says that don't be afraid to confess Jesus before man, and He will confess you before the Father. So right now, on the count of three, if that was you, get your hand up, and then we'll get you a Bible, and you put it right back down. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? Be bold. All right. Amen. Everybody look up here. Wherever. Yeah. Okay. I had a request, and I don't... Never had a request from the pulpit before, but... She asked, and I will. She asked that, could we all stand and you repeat that again? And I will before Howdy comes and gets us out of here. We are the mighty in God, rising up in confident faith to stand strong as conquerors over the corruption that is running rampant. We are standing up for freedom, for our nation, for the destruction of the satanic influences waged against us, and for the conquering power of God's love. We are rising up in faith, rising up in might, and rising up in love. We will not be stopped, intimidated, nor silenced. We are God's voice to our generation. So stand up. Stand up in faith. Stand up for freedom. Stand up and resist the oppression. Stand up and go on the offense with the sword of the Lord. And the Lord, and the loud shout of victory, for the battle is surely the Lord's. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up, Howdy.
One, two. Yes. Awesome declaration, Ricky. Absolutely. Yes. We are honored. We are honored. No matter what happens Tuesday, we are going to rejoice on Wednesday. No matter what. It don't matter who. It don't matter what. It don't matter what party they're with. We're going to rejoice. And just declare it, man. Don't allow anything to happen. I don't care if we lose both houses and the president still wins. We're still going to rejoice. Or the Senate, or the Congress, if we lose Congress. Doesn't matter. If we win all three, hello. But we're still going to have to fight, y'all. It's still a fight. We have been fighting since the beginning. Jesus told us we was going to have to fight. He told us we was going to have to stand up for it. They don't reject you because of who you are. They reject you because of who He was. Okay? That's why. He said it was going to be like that. So y'all hang in there. Okay? Y'all don't get distracted. Don't get confused. I don't care if you're voting for John Cornyn or not. It doesn't matter. You guys are smart enough to know better. Okay? You can't outburst like that in here. You can't do that. You guys know better, but this is not the time or the place. If you don't like them, don't go. Okay, if you don't want to vote for them, don't vote for them. You have a choice. Work out your own salvation. Amen? Work out your own salvation. Okay? So we just declare this week's going to be a great week. We don't care what happens. We're going to stand and fight no matter what, right? We're still Christians no matter what. Nobody can take that from you. No politician can take that from you, right? Not one. No angel, no principality, no nothing. And the declaration he just read is worth repeating when you get home. Hang in there, right? Y'all stand to your feet and let's get out of here. You did the 6 o'clock thing. I was in and out earlier. There's no Bible study Tuesday. Okay, so you did. And I was going in and out earlier. Okay, the 6 o'clock. Okay, good. So if you guys would like to give to Ricky Bowen Ministries, put it in this bucket right here. Okay, you know he doesn't take a salary here for preaching. So if you'd like to if you haven't done your tithes and offerings, it's that bucket over there. But if you'd like to give to him specifically, what a great message. If you'd like to bless him, right here the bucket is. Make it out to Ricky Bowen Ministries. Last week we did it different because we had special music. Okay? This week you don't make checks to WCCC. You make them directly to him. If you want cash, if you want a receipt for your cash, make sure you grab an envelope, okay? So y'all come give after we're done, we release, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. We are excited about this week. We know that we will be victorious no matter what happens on Tuesday. We are the victor. We are not the victim. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We win. We always will win, and we win in the end, Lord. No matter what happens, we know that you have your hand on this nation. You have never forgotten this nation because of who we are and what our country was founded on. So we love you and we thank you for everything that you do for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for going with us this week. We love you in Jesus' mighty name.